Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Dog and Duck Show. This is the instant reaction show. It is Saturday evening. We are in the living room of our friend Mark Schmore, the duck, and the Huskies have won another dramatic end of game victory, something that we never expected. The Huskies finishing 36-33. I've got a couple of fellow dogs here with me in the room. JJ, Jake, how are you feeling right now?
Just super excited. I did not think that, I mean, last year was such an incredible game. And, you know, you hope to have one of those sporting events in your lifetime. I never dreamt that it would be quite as thrilling as that. And to be able to experience that in front of the home crowd with 75,000 purple clad fans was just so special. That was a really, really cool experience.
All right, JJ, just from like a level of like 1 to 10, your elation this year compared to last year, describe what you're feeling right now.
Well, I can tell you last year, finally beating a really good Duck team, felt like that was a breakthrough for the Huskies. My elation was at a level 10 by far. Yeah. Couldn't believe it. This year was, I think it's still on a level 10, but it was a different feeling. Elation might not be the right word, like sheer sense of relief and gratitude for some good fortune that went our way.
Yeah. And Mark, you know, this game, both of us came in with such high hopes, so much on the line. There's still opportunity for both teams to accomplish all their goals and dreams. But Mark, how are you feeling coming after this game?
Well, I'm not feeling great, Warren. This was a hard one. This was I feel differently than I did last year. Last year, I think I felt like Oregon was unequivocally the better team going in terms of, you know, the ranking and how they'd been playing and everything like that. I think I felt like the way that fourth quarter unfolded, to hold the ball for 13 minutes and lose, just felt like a travesty. To have the Bo Nix injury thrown in there felt like an unjust act, you know. This, I think, because Oregon had that moment midway through the third quarter where they're down 11 and Washington had the ball and things were looking a little dire, to like rally back, take the lead. I think I am much more like, as a Duck fan, like, you know, like they left it all on the line and they came up one play short. They convert 1 2-yard play on fourth down and they win the game. And that sucks to be that close to victory and not come through. But I feel more a sense of satisfaction after this game than last game. I think because I went in thinking, I think Washington might be a little better, especially at home. And so for Oregon to win would, you know, wasn't something that I was expecting in the same way as last year. I thought Oregon could win, whereas last year I really felt like they should have won.
Yeah.
So a little different feeling, but still heartbreaking nonetheless. When you have a 95% win expectancy 2 years in a row in the final minutes and blow both of those games.
Yeah.
And have these fourth down calls that are going to be debated now for another year.
Oh, we'll talk about those.
Yeah.
We'll talk about those. So, Mark, everything I'm about to say comes with a gigantic asterisk on it, because there is definitely a possibility that these two teams meet again this season. But as it stands right now, this is the final game in this rivalry series as these two teams are in the Pac-12. It's the end of the Pac-12 rivalry era. The Huskies, of course, have won the overall series from its historical standpoint. Going back to what we kind of call the modern era, which we decided was the Don James era, the Huskies have now won 24 out of the potential 47 games. So they've got a one game advantage. The Ducks owned this series during the first 20 years of this millennia, but now the Huskies have won 4 of the last 7, and they've won the only two games played thus far in the DeBoer slash Lanning era. So what does all this mean to you as a Duck fan? Like, are you just kind of like, hey, we'll get him next year? Or does this feel like it's has a special significance in what this series means as two diehard Duck and Dog fans sitting around a couch tonight?
You can tell me if I'm misinterpreting this. I feel like this game meant a lot more historically to Washington, in that Washington has the best quarterback they've ever had. They have this historically good receiving core. That the way kind of the schedule is setting up and everything, that this is like Washington's chance to get their first Heisman Trophy in school history, to potentially make the college football playoff again, to potentially even have a shot at winning a national title in the modern era, where you actually have to play in a title game, which would be a new thing for the school. So, like, those are all the expectations that Washington fans came in. And even though Oregon was only ranked one spot behind Washington, because Oregon's had several teams in the last 15 years that I think were a little better than this team, I don't think most Oregon fans were looking at this game as like our national title hopes ride on this. I think they were more thinking, I'm interested to see what the ceiling is for this team. I'm interested to see if they can pull off this kind of a win and set themselves up maybe for the potential of some of those things. But it does, I think this game would have been much more crushing to Husky fans to, especially being at home, to lose. Whereas I think Oregon fans are able to kind of say, you know what? We lost, but in many ways, like, every unit of Oregon seemed to outplay the unit of Washington. Like, Bo Nix threw for more yards than Michael Penix. Bucky Irving ran for more yards than Dylan Johnson. Troy Franklin had more receiving yards than anybody on the Washington side. You know, the defensive line got much more pressure than the defensive line of Washington. And I don't say that to minimize the fact that obviously Washington won. Scoreboard matters. So this isn't like sour grapes or anything like that. But I think Oregon is looking at this going like, yeah, we'll take our chances in a rematch. Like, this didn't feel like, you know, one decidedly better team.
Without a doubt. Winning. I mean, it literally came down to the last second. And like you said, Oregon had a 96% chance of winning with less than 2 minutes left. So, you know, I mentioned, guys, that large asterisk that still exists in this series, because like we said, there is a legitimate chance that both the Huskies and the Ducks win out the rest of their regular season, find themselves facing each other again on a neutral field at, you know, for the Pac-12 championship. Is that something that you guys want to see as Husky fans, or would you like to just know that this is the last time that we beat the Ducks in the Pac-12, and we can just put a nail in that coffin? Next year, it'll be a whole new ball of wax, different quarterbacks, different conference. But what are your thoughts about, would you rather face the Ducks again and roll the dice, or just know that we did it? We took them down two years in a row, and we own them.
Bring it on, baby.
Okay.
Bring it on. What else are we going to do? You know, I think the Ducks have every chance. I mean, watching the game today, it's a really, really good football team.
Yeah.
The Huskies beat today. To Mark's point, the Ducks, you know, we're a better team on paper. On the statistics outside of the scoreboard. And so we can diagnose how we got there, but Huskies got the W, and you take this game into a neutral field in Vegas. The Ducks would be ready. So will the Dogs. So I think you would see a similar matchup. I think based upon what we saw last year and this year, doesn't matter what venue they're playing in, what home field advantage there is. It's a, you know, that will be the ultimate, the ultimate neutralizer. So who knows?
So Jake, do you want to see the Ducks again?
No, I want no part of Oregon. I am the opposite of JJ, because I feel like these two wins have been the most significant wins of the series for sure for us. And if Oregon can beat us, knock us out of the playoff, be the last ever Pac-12 champion, mm-hmm. and possibly go to the playoff themselves. This win, it's like our argument over, like, that's the greatest play ever. Oh, but they didn't win the game. Like, right.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If you have this phenomenal play, but you don't actually finish off the victory, like, okay, these two were really significant. Like, I'm very excited right now. But if we lose in that fashion with that much on the line, like, that's what I'll remember the season for. I won't remember. I mean, I'll remember, but it won't be that. Oh, yeah, we beat Oregon. It'll be like, oh, we beat them, but then they beat us when it mattered more. It's like a playoff loss versus a regular season loss. So I feel very confident playing USC. I would play anybody right now in the Pac-12. Oregon scares me for sure. So, let's go Utah, fight on. Let's get somebody to hand Oregon their second loss. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. That's my
Jake, I for one agree with you. Yeah. you are definitely tempting fate going up against the Ducks for third time and expecting to come out with a W. But let's admit it, if that were to happen and if the Dogs were to win, it would be the ultimate just middle finger to every Duck fan who has lorded over us over the last 20 years, all that they've done. And if in the process we win a national championship and a Heisman Trophy, I mean, that would be the trifecta, yeah, right?
That would be the end of my friendship with all three.
Yeah, right. It would just be the dog and dog and dog and dog.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of our, because if that game comes, we'll spend an entire week just talking about it. Yeah. But it does seem like with the way Washington has pulled these two games out, that frankly, they had no business winning either of them. They pull them both out. If they meet for a third time, it's a reversion to the mean of one of two ways. Either it means... Right. Washington comes out and is the better team for four quarters and just kind of runs Oregon off the field, because they haven't really had they didn't play anything close to their best game today. They have a ceiling that's much higher than this. So it's like, that could be that then it's actually like, it's the game that Washington controls.
Yeah.
Or it could be the game where Oregon puts them away and actually wins by 14 instead of fooling around at the end,
So let's talk about that for a second, because you've already pointed out Knicks had more passing yards. Irving had more rushing yards. Franklin had more receiving yards. The defensive line had a bigger push. We were the better team. We should have won, but we didn't.
Right.
All right. And
do you disagree with that?
Well, I ultimately don't. I kind of do. That would take back. Hey, listen. Let's go back to 2 weeks ago. What did I say in a toss-up game were going to be the deciding factors? And I said one was going to be the quarterback, two was going to be the home field advantage, and three was going to be the coach.
And what did I say? I said special teams, and what did this game come down to? A missed field goal on the final play of the game.
Okay, but it also came down to some terrible coaching decisions.
Okay, let's get into this. Let's get the gloves off. Come on.
6 points on the board that would have sealed the game without any drama whatsoever. So let's admit it. At the end of the game, both quarterbacks had an opportunity to drive the field and win the game. Only one did it, and that was Michael Penix. The crowd was loud. I'm not saying that they necessarily had a dramatic effect on Knicks. He was pretty composed, but the crowd was a factor for sure. And then at the end of the game, you look at it and you go, which coach made the least, negative decisions? And I think you've got to say it was DeBoer. Lanning left at least 6 points guaranteed on the board that would have changed the outcome of this game.
But as I've maintained with Lanning all along, You can't critique with the 2020 hindsight of I'm going to cherry pick three decisions at the end of a game that all didn't work out. And I'm going to take them completely out of their context. And I'm going to say he should have done different things on all or any of them. And it would have resulted in a different game. If Lanning
on just a second, Mark. So I remember a couple weeks ago, I said to you in a text, I said, Mark, we won't really know. We can't really pontificate on this until we see the game.
Yes.
And you said, Warren, that's what this whole thing is about. That's what this show is about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So questioning calls after the game is over is a part of what we do as fans and a part of what a sports podcast is all about.
Okay, then let's take them play by play here.
Okay.
The first, I think what most people are talking about is the first one and the last one in terms of those three fourth down calls. Because the one in the middle, they were down by 11 points at the time. And it kind of seemed like they were a little more in desperation mode. Like, I think most people were kind of thinking that made sense. So the first call was the one right before the half.
Yeah.
Where it's a fourth and goal from the 3 yard line.
Mm.
And they're down by 4 points. So kicking a field goal would have still gone into the half trailing, but yeah, it would have been points on the board. They were getting the ball to start.
Yep.
The half. But that was also, like, if you look at how Oregon's defense played in the second half versus the first half, they played much better in the second half. Washington's offense was also just less sharp, you know, however you want to put the responsibility. I think Lanning was looking at those three touchdown drives in the first half where Washington went right down the field. And I think he's thinking field goals is not going to do it against this offense, this historically great offense. Field goals isn't going to do it. We're not going to get down here this long. It was taking Oregon a lot longer to move the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. They'd already had to settle for one field goal in exchange for a Washington touchdown. And we've seen games where one offense trades a couple field goals for a couple touchdowns, and they just can't keep up. So I think in that particular moment, I think it made a lot of sense. Obviously, in hindsight, you're like, well, if we had 3 more points here, well, if they kick a field goal there, every single play from that point on is different because the strategy is different. You don't run the same plays. Like, everything else that follows that, you can't just drop it in.
Butterfly effect. Yeah. But yeah.
But in that particular moment, I was feeling like our defense is a little over, like our defense is not carrying their weight. And so we have to try to flip the game. If we score here, get the ball at the second half, run it right down the field, then we have a chance to really change the complexion of this game. And a field goal wasn't going to do that to the same degree, because a field goal would have only pulled us within a point. Then if we score to start the second half, we're only giving ourselves like a 6-point margin. What we needed was a 2-score cushion to change the complexion of the game. So I think that first fourth down attempt was totally defensible. It didn't work, obviously. So that's where it's fun to like lob these grenades at Lanning, like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. But there was like a sound decision-making philosophy. If you were playing against the Washington offense with how they played in the first half, that made sense.
You're right. It is a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that he has shown that he is committed to. You know, and we've talked about this over and over again. He is going to live by the fourth down and die by the fourth down. He's now been killed 3 times by the fourth down at the worst possible times against the worst possible opponents. So Jake, what do you think? If you were to grade out Lanning's coaching tonight, do you agree with this philosophical approach to saying, hey, we're going to go for it at almost every single opportunity and leave points on the field with the hope that you might be able to turn momentum and really dominate the game, which, you know, he could have done that against Oregon State last year, that those decisions could have.
Hold on, Warren. Oregon State last year, they had a punt blocked and then they had the punter drop the ball on the 2-yard line. So the next time they had an opportunity to punt, they went for it on fourth down.
Okay.
That's actually a smart move if your punting team cannot successfully get a punt off.
Okay, like,
take these out of context.
If you're saying that they did not believe that they could get a punt off successfully, then okay. What do you think, JJ?
Well, I think in this particular situation, especially the play at the end of the first half, right before that, Washington gave Oregon a huge gift. It turned the ball over. Mm. Bad throw or bad route.
Yeah.
Oregon's got the ball under a minute or whatever the time was.
Yeah.
And I feel like Washington gave Oregon a gift and Oregon didn't take it.
Yeah.
3 points. I think at the end of the half, you take it because you were already going to be down 4 points going into the half. If Washington had just made a couple first downs and
And see, I guess I look at that and saying, even if Washington bleeds out the clock, that was a get. Like, we weren't going to have those. We weren't going to have that three. So why don't we go big and try to get the seven?
I think maybe the learning opportunity for Lanning would be
is so patronized.
Relax there. I know you lost. I know you're disappointed.
He's just a young guy, Mark.
But I think he's 2 years. But you let the game play out. Why do you need to level the final, blow at the end of the first half?
Well,
that last year, you remember, and I remember you gave us crap that DeBoer should have been going for two or should have been going on fourth down instead of kicking field goals in the first half and kicked two. Yeah. And you really criticized that approach. And that approach, and I remember going, Lanning or DeBoer is allowing the game to come to him. Mm-hmm. Rather than trying to force something. I mean, there was no reason to not kick a field goal at the end of the half. None.
So here I absolutely think if I'm playing devil's advocate to my own argument, I had buddy text me who's not affiliated with either school, who said, here's my take, is for the last 2 years, Oregon has had the better team and played the better game, and they gave the ball to Penix after risky decision making, and they got burned.
They did not play a better game last year.
So okay,
the Huskies and the Ducks played almost even
last year. Oregon had 70 more total yards. They had 9 more first downs. It was pretty similar to.
But you play a different game. We get less.
They ran the ball for 300 yards last year.
But I think you have to do forever 400.
But the point, the point is that he was saying is Lanning's decision making makes sense if you don't feel like you have the better team. Then you need to get an edge by going forward in some of those high leverage moments. But if you feel like you have the better team, then maybe that is the difference.
I disagree. I think he does feel like he has the better offense. And so that's why he is going for it in those situations. I don't think he thinks he's got the better defense, especially last year, second half of that game. I think he's thinking, I don't want to give this ball back to Michael Penix.
Right.
So,
And that was the case here at the end of this game.
Same here. Yeah. Right. Like, I think as a Husky fan, I wanted you to kick the ball at the end of the first half,
which is telling to me.
Right. I agree. Like, I was like, if you come out and kick, I feel a little bit of a sense of relief. Right. Cause I'm like, okay, good. I felt like if you went,
but do you feel after they don't get the fourth down?
I felt great.
Of course.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like that was a strategic blunder. Like, I feel like we would have, I don't know. I think you could have, I don't think kicking it's the wrong choice there. But
you're fourth and what was the
yard? Fourth and goal from the three.
From the three.
Yeah. So
in what world do you not kick a field goal? I don't understand that.
Especially when you're getting the ball to start the second half.
But we're talking about in each of these situations, we're talking about the length of like a 2-point conversion, right?
Right.
2-point conversion generally is like a 50% success rate. Okay. And so we're talking about Lanning going 0-for-3, where if he goes 1-for-3, they win the game. And I think if you're playing the odds and you have three opportunities, and if you make one, you win the game. Mm-hmm.
Do you need to win the game at the end of the first half?
Yeah.
I go back to how the defense had not given. I think if you told Lanning, if you were a Lanning whisperer and you could be like, hey, your defense is going to force back-to-back three and outs in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. I think he would have said field goal.
Yeah.
I think what he was thinking is Washington might get the ball five times in the second half and score on four or five of them.
Yeah.
So I need as many points as I can.
I would disagree. I would say, well, that's exact. He's trying to do, I don't know, almost break the rules of the game. When just take the points and allow the game to play out naturally. Cause you very well could have taken the ball in the first half, gone down and scored. You're now up 27-21, you maybe go for two, you're up 28-21, and the game's totally different. You win.
Then you'd be after him if he went for two and he didn't get it. And you'd be saying, why did he go?
You wouldn't be mad about him going for two.
Let's go ahead and move on. I think we can agree that I continue to question the wisdom of Lanning's decision-making on fourth down. And Mark is still a landing fourth down apologist.
No, it's that I'm not a fan of 2020 hindsight. I've said this before the game. I said, if you have a problem,
I told you before the game that he was going to make that decision.
But how nervous were you on that last fourth down? You looked at me, Warren, and it was like a dementor was hovering over your face. All joy had been sucked out of your body, like, because you were terrified that Oregon was 2 yards away from destroying your heart.
Yes. Lanning resurrected.
No, but Lanning was the one that put the fear of God into you. You didn't want him to punt the ball, or you wanted him to punt the ball. Right. You didn't want him to go for it there.
I don't actually have a problem with going for it at the end of the game.
Yeah, I actually felt like
because that was going to end the game, and you give the ball back to Penix. Yeah. 90 yards either or 50 yards. What's the real difference?
Well, and so it actually worked to their benefit because it gave them more time.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about Penix. Okay. So,
well, that's where I wanted to argue with Mark a little bit. Okay.
Great. I love this.
You made the claim, which I don't disagree that I think Oregon played a really good game and by a lot of metrics probably outperformed the Huskies in some areas. But you were like, well, Franklin had more receiving yards than a single Washington receiver. Yes. But between Polk and Adunze, our receiving core played better. So I think
that's backs and receivers had more receiving yards than your backs and receivers.
True. Okay.
So if you're taking it as a collection or you're taking it as an individual thing.
No, I'm saying
we had the best receiver on the field and the best group of receivers on the field.
Well
he was shooting all eligible receivers.
The best receiver on the field.
Incorrect.
Yes, he was.
Franklin had as many catches, more yards.
Bo Nix had more yards and a higher completion percentage, but he had two touchdowns. Penix had four. Like that ended up being a pretty. Yeah,
that's because they throw the ball more.
Well, that wasn't. I think you had more attempts.
No,
Nix had more attempts.
Penix threw the ball 37 times. Nix threw the ball 33 times. Right?
Maybe it was 44.
Okay,
you can be right.
But
I throw the ball downfield more.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Oregon is a running team. Yeah.
Like, and my point wasn't that like Nix or Penix drastically outperformed Nix. I don't think this was like a.
Hold on just a second. Yeah. Nix had 44 attempts.
Wow.
Penix had 37.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was wrong on that. But if I said at the beginning of the game, if I told you Bo Nix is going to throw for more yards and have fewer interceptions than Michael Penix, you would have said game, set, match, right?
Yes. But I think that, again, the great equalizer is he throws for four touchdowns, which was significant, right? And we can quibble about, you know, who had the, but I think that was at least like kind of a toss up, right? Like both played really well. Penix was a little bit more clutch. Nix probably had the better stats, I guess.
Yeah.
As great as your running game was, which it was, it was infuriating, especially Bucky Irving. I kind of was surprised how well Dylan Johnson did. I mean,
he was phenomenal. He was excellent. Yeah.
Right? 5 yards a carry, 100-yard game, a touchdown to boot.
It was weird when they stopped running him on those two.
Yes, I mean, you looked at both and you're like, I can't believe I'm saying this. About a Michael Penix-led team, but why are they not running the ball more?
Yeah,
right. And that was 100%. But I think when you present it as like, well, Oregon outplayed them in this facet, this facet, this facet, and this facet, and then the scoreboard just kind of ended up on the wrong side. I wouldn't say that it was like, oh, they were the better team. The Huskies were fortunate to escape from this one. I felt like last year that was not the case. I mean, they were fortunate, but I do feel like last year felt like the Huskies they played better. And this year I walked away a little more relieved, like, oh, wow. I really feel like we snatched one from the jaws of defeat there. And it wasn't necessarily that Oregon like outplayed us in every area. And there were some weird bounces or odd turnovers that just kind of rolled in our favor, which maybe that's not what you're saying, but that's kind of how I was reading it.
All right. So let's talk about we won't go much longer, but let's just talk about like one moment for each of you that you will remember from this game for a long, long time. And I'll go ahead and get us started. There's so many incredible memories from this game. But one that will definitely stick with my mind is at the beginning of the game. Okay. So we are all thrilled to see Jalen McMillan back on the field, announced as a starter, out there before the game, you know, practicing returning punts. He's on the field at the beginning, gets a you know, kind of a bonehead penalty at the start of the game, but then he disappears. The Huskies get the ball. They drive down the field on their second drive, and Michael Penix throws a touchdown to number zero, who was Giles Jackson. Nobody knew that Giles Jackson was going to play. Everybody thought that Giles was out for the year. Giles ends up coming into this game without any fanfare, no announcement whatsoever. He gets five or six catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. In many ways, you could say that was the difference in this game. And he not only had that touchdown, he had some clutch catches that converted third and fourth downs to keep this game going. So for me, I will always remember just the amount of surprise and elation that I had when I realized that Giles is back. All right, JJ, how about you? What's one memory from this game that you'll take with you?
I'm going to say wide right. And there's some serious history there. Mark, Jake, and I watched the 2018 game where Peyton Henry missed wide right.
Yeah.
And I just that's the endearing memory. Was watching the referee's signal that he missed it, and the absolute, I mean,
no right, good. Yeah.
I think for me,
that was Dan Lanning's fault, by the way, that he missed that field goal.
He did. It was. Well, after the fake injury.
Yeah.
What were you like? What was going through your mind when that happened? Like, was your brain exploding?
Oh, it was. I literally could not believe that we won this. Honestly, similar to last year, which, gosh, as a Duck fan, it has got to be infuriating to not only have it last year, but have the same almost identical game happen this year. Yeah. I mean, honestly. So we, you know, the Ducks stole defeat from the jaws of victory. Just that we were even in a spot to be ahead by three at the end of the game. I went freaking nuts when he missed that field goal. So did everybody else too.
75,000 people.
Went. Mark, we'll finish with you, but
okay. So for me,
I look forward to that.
The eerie similarities between last year's game and this year's game.
Yeah.
Right. I remember at some point in the third quarter, or maybe it was early fourth, just going, oh my goodness, it feels like it's happening again. Like Washington's driving with the lead. And instead of Penix throwing a pick on the goal line, it's a fourth down stop on the goal line. And then Oregon has a chance to run out the clock and isn't able to do it. There's even a running back slipping in the backfield. There's a second down play that almost results in a first down. And then the slip and then the fourth down stop, which was a crazy, that fourth down play. I just remember going, here's Penix's chance. Like Penix is going to get the ball back 2 minutes to go, his Heisman moment, and going this. Okay. Like if he doesn't get it, if the offense fails, then I think you go, hats off to Oregon. They just outplayed us in the second half. Our offense couldn't come through. And for him to then two plays later get in the end zone was like, oh, there it is. And of course, I was still incredibly nervous. But it was that fourth down play, which was a weird that Mark, you've got to say, the rolling Knicks out to his left side.
That was a weird play call.
That was probably like, I'd have more qualms with that than honestly the decisions Lanning made. That was a
which
weird
is
call.
More Stein than it is, you know.
Right, Lanning. Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't like that. But seeing that and knowing, okay, Penix is going to get the ball back, I just felt like this is all I could ask for. And when we were able to stop Knicks and the Oregon offense and they had to kick a field goal, I turn to JJ and you and I go, okay, worst we can do is overtime, right? And I'm just going, okay, preparing for overtime. And then we're watching the crowd because we can't see from our seats. We have no idea if the kick's good or not. And the kick goes up. Everybody goes quiet. And the crowd in the end zone kind of went relaxed for a minute.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, he made it. Mm-hmm. And then they went bonkers. Wow. And I just, yeah. And I'm like, oh, he did. He missed it. And so it was more relief, like JJ said. And elation was in that. But it was, yeah, it was relief. And yeah, so
the fans storm the field for the second year in a row. And here we are doing a recording of the Dog and Duck Show with the Huskies on top. Mark, what memories are you going to take from this memorable game?
Such a fair question.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, let me start by saying to our listeners, most of whom I know are Husky fans. When I say something like, you know, Oregon played the better game or whatever, like I'm not trying to diminish the Washington victory. Washington has won these last two games by making some unbelievably clutch plays in clutch moments. I'm still forever haunted by the Taj Davis reception last year. And I don't know that there's a single reception from this year, but it seemed like every single touchdown throw that Michael Penix threw tonight was just like the perfectly thrown pass. A lot of times not poor coverage. No. A lot of times he had a, you know, defensive lineman pretty much in his grill. Like I thought Oregon did a pretty good job of pressuring him all game long, and he stood in there and made some huge throws. And, you know, I've gone on record repeatedly that I think he should be the Heisman front runner. I think he solidified that spot tonight. And so, yeah, it sucks. It's a terrible memory to have. It's the opposing quarterback just carving you up in a few key moments. And, I think maybe that's why I get so hot under the collar when people make something like this about a fourth down decision that literally could have gone either way. It was a 50-50 call in the moment, because this game was won by Washington because Michael Penix was awesome in a game where he wasn't necessarily at his best for the entire game, right? Like he had some moments where he looked kind of out of sorts, but like he was spectacular when he absolutely needed to be for the second year in a row. And that's a huge, huge credit to him. He was great.
Yeah, I was wondering what you felt like, Mark, when Washington scores in those two quick plays. Because I was worried it was too soon, right? It was a little too quick. I wanted to bleed a little more clock, but also knowing, hey, you got to score there. So what, as an Oregon fan, you're down three, getting the ball back with a minute
remaining. Like minute 39, I think.
Were you feeling like we're going to go down and tie this? We're going to go down and win this? Were you nervous? Like, what was your
feeling at that moment? My thought was, I'm glad they scored in two plays and not in six plays.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My thought wasn't like we've got plenty of time, but it was there's time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oregon was able to move the ball, get some guys out of bounds. Like, I thought they did a pretty good job of kind of, you know, getting in range.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I was really hoping for was, because I think I said to you, I wish they were down four so that a field goal was off the table and they were just kind of thinking they had to score.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you play for a field goal there, it just kind of makes the play calling different.
Mm-hmm.
And but then there was that one play, you know, a couple plays before the field goal where Nix had all day to throw and he ended up checking it down because they couldn't get anybody open further down the field. So, you know, I think I was hoping that they could spring Franklin free for the home run ball or something like that. But Washington, to their credit, you know, kept everything in front of them. You know, a lot of times a defense in that setting can kind of go into prevent mode
and just let a team move the ball down the field.
And I thought Washington did a nice balance of like, we're going to give up the stuff over the middle. But a lot of times it was like, we're going to give up this play in the middle of the field, and then this guy has to run horizontally out of bounds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which they did.
Like, so I thought Washington's defensive game plan on that last series was really effective to keep Oregon from getting close to
play. Yet at the same time,
you
know, after the fake injury, there was 17 seconds left, first down. I thought for sure they're going to take three shots into the end zone. and then they're going to kick the ball and take it to overtime. And yet it just, it didn't work out that way. Maybe it was like you said, Knicks saw the coverage and knew that there was nothing, you know, nothing in the end zone. So he took the check downs, but you know, they really never, you know, gave themselves that opportunity to win the game.
Did you end the game with a timeout too? Or did you ever end up using that final timeout?
No, no, because it was an incomplete pass.
Was that,
yeah, I thought it was an incomplete pass.
On, that was a mistake on the fake injury, Warren. Like you said, there were 17 seconds left when your tight end went down, and they had a timeout because I remember saying, do they have to use it?
Yeah.
Because of the injury.
Yeah.
And the clock started as they're ready for play.
And it got down to like,
it 14, got down to like 9 13. Seconds. And then, because then the next play was, he just threw it away out of bounds, remember, for the field goal.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, they just let like 8 seconds tick away. Yeah. Mm. And they had a timeout in their pocket. That's totally different. If you, I guess if you call that timeout, you can't run a play over the middle of the field unless you get a first down.
I think you're right? Saving that timeout in case you complete a pass in the middle of the field and have to set the field
goal. I guess you got to do that quicker though, right? Like that's just, I felt like they got to run a play quicker, especially after an injury where they had time to.
Well, I think they got a playoff and then they got another playoff with about 10 seconds left and then they kicked the field goal. So I think they got 2 plays off after that.
So we're gonna come back on Tuesday. On go ahead.
Do you feel like Oregon was playing for a field goal?
I don't think they were saying like, I do think that they felt good about sending Camden Lewis out there. He's a 5th-year senior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a pretty good leg. He hit a 46-yarder earlier in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they were playing for a field goal.
Yeah, I think they were. I think
you don't want to throw.
They weren't going to turn the ball. You know, it was like, we're going to be smart.
We're going to go to overtime,
and we'll take overtime if that's
how
the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah,
and. You know,
so we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll break this down some more, you know, before, but when we get back, I'll have my voice back. Mark will have a whole collection of thoughts and ideas and rationales that will be very sound and wise and sage. But before we do, I just wanted to wrap up with just a little story. So I lead an organization called Impact Players, and we were so blessed to have Kalen DeBoer come and speak to our men this past May, 200 men at a just packed out arena in Bellevue. And Mark was there, and Kalen DeBoer learned that Mark was the only Duck in the audience. And during the introduction of DeBoer before his speech, they showed a highlight reel video. And you mentioned that Taj Davis catch, which is what sparked this memory. But when they showed that catch, DeBoer looked at you and he winked.
Right. Yeah.
Just to say, how'd you like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just a great reminder that these coaches, they do care.
Yeah.
You know, they're always talking about the 1-0 mentality. But they know which plays are the plays that people will remember for a lifetime. I think people are going to remember Rome Odunze looking to the right and then turning back to the left, pulling that ball in the end zone with less than 2 minutes left to win this game. They're going to remember Rome going up for that 50-50 ball and bringing it down for another touchdown. But this is the Dog and Duck Show. We are passionate about our teams. Don't worry about Mark. Mark's going to be okay. The Ducks are going to be okay. The Ducks are going to, they're still in control of everything they want to do. But what a tremendous win for the Huskies. What a great moment in this awesome, awesome series. So with that, for all my Dog fans, go Dogs. Jake?
Go Dogs, baby.
Go Dogs.
Mark?
For all my Duck fans, go Ducks.
All right, we'll catch you guys next time.